started a series going through the book of Colossians, and I'd like to pick that up tonight. We're going to look at the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Paul writes, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." We want to talk about Paul's ministry as we read about him and what he's doing for the Colossians there. As we read in the scriptures, we want to be able to take these words and bring them down into a form in which we can understand what it is as Paul himself was a minister. And we think about this universally. We think about what a minister is. And it's in this text in verse 23 as we read, and Paul said, "If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister." And thoroughly, that word minister is a very interesting word in the Greek language. What it really means is to thoroughly raise up dust by moving in a hurry. How do you like that? That's what that word means. To minister in the sense of how this word is used to raise up dust because you're moving so fast. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13, we hear of the wedding feast that Jesus talked about, where the king in the end said to the unprepared, the king said to his servants, and that's that Greek word, his servants, he said, "Bind them hand and foot and take them away and cast them into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And that word servant is used there. It's used as when the king talks, boy, you get moving. You move so fast that you cause dust to kick up. Our king is Jesus. Paul's king was Jesus. And it's an issue not that when somebody with power and authority snaps their fingers and you're going to obey. It's when somebody that you love, somebody that cares for you so much that he was willing to die for you on the cross, tells you what he would like you to do, what you must do, and then you want to do that. You want to move quick. Kick up some dust. Whenever this is used in the New Testament, it's almost always referred to Jesus the Lord inspiring his servants to carry out his plan, the plan of salvation for mankind. And that's what we need to get from this. When Paul talks about him being a minister, he's not a minister of anything that he's devised. He's a minister of Jesus, and he's carrying out the plan of the Lord. You know, think about one of those really hot rod cars zooming down an old dust road, and you've probably all seen that. And it kicks up all that dust as it takes off into the oblivion there. And that feeling or that zeal that can be generated with that thought is something that we need to have in our service towards God. Paul was one who would kick up dust. And when we think about this, in verse 24 and 25, we see that Paul is rejoicing, and that Paul, he's talking about the sufferings which he's had in his body, and he talks about how he became a minister. And we're going to get more in depth in these as we go. And that A.T. Robertson, he's the one who raises the idea of the dust and speed with that word minister. So humble service to the Lord and His people. We want to look at His attitude. We want to look at Him as master. We want to look at Paul's message, his task, his manner, and his purpose and goal tonight. We want to look at all these things as we talk about Paul, a minister of Jesus Christ. Let's look at his attitude here just for a moment. In verse 24, Paul says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you." He says, "and fill up my flesh with what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." Think about this, and as you wonder about the attitude of the Apostle Paul, his attitude is that he's got sufferings and afflictions. Now, I know, and I'm sure we all have had experience where somebody didn't come to worship because their throat was a little sore. Or my arm's kind of stiff today. What is Paul talking about when he talks about afflictions? When he says, for you, these sufferings, for you in my flesh that was lacking in the afflictions of Christ. What is he talking about? He's talking about serious pain, serious torment, stoning and shipwrecked and hunger. And he's talking about some serious things. He's not talking about my neck's a little stiff or my throat's a little sore or I got a sniffle on this side or... Listen, when we talk about attitude, Paul is a great example, isn't he? Paul is a good example for all of us. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment. His attitude, he rejoiced. He was one who would rejoice. He wasn't somebody... I can imagine meeting Paul, that he's not the kind of person you'd walk up to and feel like he doesn't really want to talk to me. Or he's the kind of person I really wouldn't want to talk to. I believe that the reason Paul was singing in prison and the people were all listening is because he was the kind of person people wanted to listen to. And he was the kind of person that even in prison could rejoice. And he said he filled up what is lacking. And when we think about this, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, he's not talking about spiritual knowledge. He's not talking about the fact that he hasn't, there's someone who is not giving him enough information. What he's lacking is the fact that Christ died. Paul did not die. What's lacking in his is that he's suffering, yes, suffering afflictions. You know, Jesus, for the joy of the cross, Paul, he suffered. But what he's lacking is that it didn't go as far as it did with the Lord. Paul's the one who said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What an attitude. Yes, it's important to live in this life. And we have a home in heaven, and he had that right attitude. And his attitude was for the sake of the church. For the sake of his body, which is the church, Paul said. He says, I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. And so, as we think about this and try to apply this to our own lives, we see that Paul had great concern for the churches. We've read that. We all need to be learning from Paul in his ministry. He rejoiced. He was filled up. And for the sake of the church, he did all these things. He was ready to give of himself for the church. And we need to think about that. The church that's on this earth is a precious and powerful thing. It's not a commodity that's easily found. And when you finally find the church, that's a church where people simply preach the truth or study and teach the truth. It's a place where you know you can go to hear God and to be with God's people. You're in a very special place, and we should think of it that way. Paul, certainly, he did. his attitude and also his master. In verse 25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, this stewardship. He was a servant first to the Lord, his master. A servant in this context, this stewardship, is not the same thing as the steward we talked about a minute ago. It has nothing to do with kicking up dust. Paul said, which I became a minister according to the stewardship, to fulfill the word of God. Stewardship here, it comes from a very interesting word. It's a compound word, oikonomos, and it comes from the Greek word oikos, which means home, and it comes from the word nomos, which means law, oikonomos. And namely, it's the law of the household, the method of administrating or administering the household. It speaks of a house steward, one who is given the responsibility of administering the laws, regulating the proper conduct in affairs. When we think about the Apostle Paul here and how this word is used, and I'm sure since he used the word, it's something that was very precious to him. I'm a member of this household. What's the household? Is it Paul's house, Cornelius' house, Peter's house, Matthew's house, Thomas's house? No, it's God's house. I'm a member of God's house. And I'm a steward of the things that belong to God. And I want to rightly use those things. I want to be able to give you the things that God has given me. That's my responsibility. To preach the word of God. And that's the ideas that Paul has in his head as he speaks this in Colossians. As we read, he became a minister according to the stewardship. And that stewardship is from God. And so God is the master. The Lord is his king. And he's a steward of the things that they have given him. And in our own lives, we need to be like that. We need to be ministers and stewards of God's possessions are here on this earth. And so we need that. Another point here is in the latter part of 25 through 27, from God, which was given to me for you, quote, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generation to generation, but now has been revealed to his saints, to give them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about that. He became a minister according to the stewardship, and everything that he did was for the church, bringing them what was hidden at some time in past through the Old Testament, but the things that were revealed, he brought to the saints. And so God willed to make this known. And how do we do that? Paul did that in one way. He became a minister to fulfill the word of God. You see that in the end of verse 25? He became a minister to fulfill the word of God. Paul is the one who, through the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given him, the word of God that was presented to him, and through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul was able to guide the men and the women, the saints of the early church, those people whom he talked to, into the what used to be hidden and now is brought out into the light. And that is Christ Jesus in you and the hope of glory. How did he do that?
It's what he preached.
We saw that in verse 26, the word of God, or verse 25 rather. In verse 26, what he preached was the revealed mystery, the revealed word of God. And that is Christ in you.
That's what the promise was. That's what the people were hearing, and that's what Paul preached to them.
And the whole point was to fulfill the word of God. It isn't just a matter of going out and saying things. It's a matter of bringing something to fruition, something to completion. And that was the mindset of Paul. And so as individuals today of the church, we need to preach the Word of God, and we need to fulfill that Word. How? In our own lives. It doesn't do any good to preach God and have your neighbor notice that you're not living the way you preach. You've all heard that. Practice what you preach. And that's what Paul is telling us. Fulfill the Word of God. His attitude, his master, and his message, and his task. Let's look at his task. The task that Paul was given, we see in verse 28, him we preached. We preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the task. The task was to go out and preach. In other words, to announce. The task was to warn people, to admonish, to exhort, to warn. Well, when we go out and we preach the gospel, not everybody's going to hear it. But when we do, we need to warn people. Okay, you've chosen this lifestyle of homosexuality. Well, our God has said that when a man is with a man, forsaking the natural use of a woman, doing that which is unseemly, that it's sin. And you need to warn people about sin. Paul had no problem warning people. And that's all part of the task that Paul took on as a minister and a servant of Christ. And he went out and teaching. In other words, instructed people. And this is all in the mindset of the apostle. These are all things that Paul did. He preached, he warned, he taught. All of us, as we learn from Paul's ministry, in the ways in which the Apostle Paul presented himself and how he did it. Paul didn't come into a community and not talk with people. He went from house to house. He went from synagogue to synagogue. And he talked with everybody that he came in contact with. And when he did, he preached the gospel. When he did, he warned them about sin and its destructive powers and how they needed to come away from sin and turn towards Christ, teaching them, instructing them a better way. That is, of course, the way of Christ. You know, we remember the Apostle Paul, that they were afraid of him. You read that in Galatians chapter 1, that they feared Paul because he was the one who tried to destroy the way. And now he's preaching the way. Paul was converted. We've been converted. And we need to think about his ministry and the way in which he approached it as he talks to the Colossians here and learn from that. Let's look at verse 28 and 29 now. His manner. You think about the manner of Paul. Verse 28 to 29, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his workings, which work in me mightily. Think about that in context to what's being said, his manner. How does that fit in there? Well, first of all, James tells us where wisdom comes from. And Paul uses wisdom. That was his manner. He didn't speak man's wisdom. He didn't speak wisdom of the Greeks. He didn't speak wisdom of the Jews. But he chose to use the wisdom that comes down from above. James tells us where it comes from, what it looks like, so that we can recognize it. James says that wisdom is from above. It's first pure. And then it's peaceable. And then it's gentle. And then it's willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without hypocrisy. And so we're looking at this kind of wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom that has no partiality. James talks about this wisdom in chapter 3, verse 17. And that's what we want. Paul uses wisdom to sway people. But it's not science wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the Greeks. It's not the wisdom of the Jews. It's the wisdom that comes from above. That wisdom is God's Word. We have that same thing in our hands today. In verse 29, Paul says, "To this end I labor." I labor. This is his manner. He comes and he presents the Word of God, and then he labors. And when we think about him laboring, he also says, if you look at that text, he says, striving. Paul says, I labor, striving, according to his working. So when Paul, we think of Paul's manner, he's using wisdom, and he works hard at it. He's somebody that doesn't go home and just rest every day and wait until Sunday comes. We need to look at ourselves in light of the Apostle Paul and the manner of working in which he did in the church. Are we contending for the faith? Remember Jude, contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to you. Are we endeavoring to accomplish something? When we think about what Paul says here, that no flesh should glory in his presence, that we're here as servants, stewards of God, and we need to be laboring, and we need to be working very, very hard. To this end, he says, I also labor. I've always seen and noted, and I'm sure that I don't think there's anybody here that would disagree with me, that one of the signs of a weak church is a church that has 100 members, but only 15 people that work. And Paul says, teaches us in his manner, that doesn't work. We all have to work hard. Are we fatigued from our work, from our labors in the kingdom? Do we take it or do we look at it as it's a free, relaxing ride until the Lord comes back and takes me home? That's not the Lord's people. The Lord's people are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what Paul wrote. That's what Paul did. He wasn't a hypocrite. He was always reaching, always running the race, always striving for the call, always looking high above. And that's the kind of hard work or the labor that Paul talks about. That's his attitude. That's his manner. And we want to be like that. Just think about that day to day. That labor, by the way, that word labor means to feel fatigued. So what did Paul say? He says, I also feel fatigued. Think about that. Not tired because it's been a long week and Sunday comes around and it's hard to stay awake and Dave talks too long and I can't keep my eyes open. Not that kind of fatigue. Fatigue because he's labored all week preaching, teaching, exhorting, admonishing the Word of God to other people. The implication is hard work. And that other word that he uses there, striving. Think about that. He says, I labor striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. To struggle is what that word means. Literally, to compete for a prize. And figuratively, to contend with an adversary or to endeavor to accomplish something. We all need to endeavor to accomplish something in God's kingdom. That's what Paul means when he talks about laboring and striving according to the workings in which works in me mightily. Those workings that work in him. You think about a mechanical item like maybe a robot, and inside it has all these gears that make the arms move. I don't know if you've ever been to Disney World and they show the presidents up there and they look like real people talking. They blink and they have expressions and their mouths move, but it's all gears and wires and things like that. It's not a real person. But think about that internal working. That was made by man. And the internal, you know, when man says, I want his arm to go up like this, it goes up like this because they make that gear move. But we're talking about the internal works in him that were given him mightily by God. The internal workings are the Word of God, the Spirit of God, working inside of him so that he can labor and strive.
We want that.
We want to develop that. We want to be able to endeavor
to accomplish something. And you do. Just the fact that you're here tonight is an endeavor to accomplish something, to have fellowship, to think and meditate on spiritual things, to glorify God. There's all kinds of things that you're doing because you're here. But don't let it stop here. Take it outside and make that part of your life. Make your week to week, your day to day, and hour to hour striving and laboring for the gospel. Find ways in which you can go out and make yourself fatigued over the wonderful things of God. There's no better way to feel tired. And I think Paul would agree. When we think about this, his purpose or his goal is something we just want to glance at here. Because we all need to have a purpose and a goal. You know, our purpose, according to Solomon, is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And I think Paul fit that picture really well. He didn't fear men. Peter, James, and John, they didn't fear men. The men threw him into prison. They beat him and told him, get out of here. Don't talk in the name of that man Jesus anymore. And they walked away rejoicing. And then they went right into the town and started preaching again. And so we think about his purpose and his goal. In verse 28, we see that. It's very clear. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We preach him, Paul says, warning every man, teaching every man of the wisdom. And that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There's a serious goal. There's a lot of men out there. Think about that. Paul, when he said, I wanted to preach to every man, he wasn't saying that flippantly. Because we know, as he did his ministry and went from town to town and city to city, from parts of different areas in that region, he went in with fervency and he preached in the synagogues. He talked to every man that he came in contact with. And his goal was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And I want you to notice it says every man. Every man. God desires that all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God wants everybody to be saved. He didn't pick this man or that man. Paul didn't say that we may present a few men, certain men, just the upper class or just the lower class or just the middle class. It was every man. But when you think about what people teach in the world today, somehow they think that God picks certain people to be saved and they teach God picks certain people to be lost. And they teach that falsely. Can you imagine Jesus? You can just imagine Paul, since we're talking about Paul. Here's a big group of people out here, and Paul walks out and he says, you, and you, and you over there, and you leaning out here this way in the pew, you're all going to heaven. The rest of you, you're all going to hell. That's a respecter of persons. And a lot of people think that that's exactly what God is, because he picks certain people and condemns the rest. This text tells us that the gospel of Christ is to be presented to every man. The warnings are here. He warns everyone. Every man. The warning is for every man. You know, when you look at that again, the base things of the world. He's warning every man. I wonder why I looked at my Bible and that verse wasn't there. Who deleted it? I was in Colossians. Or Corinthians. Listen, every man. Perfect in Christ. Okay. That doesn't sound like selection to me.
That doesn't sound like predestination to me. That sounds like pure doctrine.
God wants every soul to come to faith and knowledge. And Paul knew that.
In verse 29, to this end I also labor according to His working, which works in me mightily.
That's what the Apostle Paul said.
He labors, striving for that end, to present every man perfect. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 for me. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we're talking about Christians. And we're talking about men and women in the body of Christ. And we need to have solid food that goes along with being full of age. We need to have something exercised in our minds. We need to exercise our minds to discern both good and evil. And that's something that we do as we study God's Word and apply it in our lives. And then we take that out and we teach every man. We need to be growing up in the Word of God. We need not to be stagnant. When we look at what Thayer says about this, he says that he brought it to an end. It means finishing, lacking nothing. That's what it means to exercise your senses, to be perfect, in other words, to be completely mature. That means you bring it all the way out to fruition. It's perfect. There's nothing left to do. That's what Paul strove for perfection. That was his goal. And to go out and present every man perfect in Christ means to be complete. There's nothing left. Now, when we talk about that, let's not be confused that when we are baptized into Christ, that that's the time now to sit down and wait for Christ to come back because there's nothing left to do. Because we know that's what it means to exercise our senses. To be able to learn to discern what's right and what's wrong according to the will of God through His Word, which we study. The mind and the character, the virtue and the integrity, and the absolute sense of God that comes from His Word is what Paul is trying to present to every man. Understanding and goodness that comes from above. And we see that. That's what it means to be full of age in Hebrews 5 and 14. That's what it means when when the Hebrew writer, which I believe is Paul, said solid food belongs to those who are full of age. By reason of use, we've exercised, spiritually speaking, to discern what is good and what is not good. Finally here, we just think about how we can apply all this in our own lives. First of all, we need to always think about our own attitudes towards our work in the church. What did Paul say as we look at the Colossian letter in verse 24? His attitude was rejoicing, even though things were hard and difficult. But he was trying to fill up in them what was lacking. And then we think about how we do that is we all accept the fact that we have a master who is in heaven. And that master is the one who we are the servants of. We're the ones that are supposed to be kicking up dust as we go from door to door and as we go from town to town and place to place. And we're servants with a stewardship. The Word of God we have. These are the precious things that God has left us. And we are stewards of this Word. Ministers and stewards and servants. And we're part of the most precious thing that we have on this earth. And that's His church. And so we need to be good stewards. And we need to carry the good message. And we need to carry that message to people so that they can know the will of God. And we need to make that something that we purpose in our hearts like Daniel, like the Apostle Paul. And we want to make this a goal in our lives. We want our manner of living to reflect Christ. We want our manner of living to reflect the apostles. We want our manner of living to reflect the early church. We want our manner of living to reflect the Holy Spirit of God through His Word. And if we do that, then our eyes will be focused on the goal. Other people will see that. And together, we'll all be in a position where we can give the words of God to the lost. I think that's what Paul's ministry was all about. And I hope that just gives you something to think about when it comes to the Apostle Paul and his work upon the earth. Of course, you can't be a good minister of Christ if you're not a subject of Christ. Christ is a king, and His kingdom is upon the earth. And the only way to be subject to Christ is through your faith and obedience to the gospel. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And if we do that, we become servants of the Most High God. We become children in the kingdom. And then we can endeavor to do these same things that the Apostle Paul has already done for us, that Jesus had already done for him. We can be part of that kingdom by obeying the gospel tonight. And we can also make our pathway and our election sure by reflecting on our own lives and making sure that we haven't strayed from the faith. If we have, then we know what we have to do. The invitation stands for you tonight. I invite you to come forward if you have need as we stand and as we sing.